Glad you're here today. Yeah, about a third of you. You know, that song that they sang just a few minutes ago, Oceans, is really, Abby, you just sang my sermon. I mean, it's really great. It's about Abraham, you know. We're going to talk about Abraham today and talked about how you went into the unknown and just calling on the name of the Lord and trusting, didn't know where it was going to go. It really fit. And so we're going to talk about this man named Abram today and who would become Abraham. One thing that I want us to understand that before we even look at the scripture about Abraham is that these people we're talking about on Sunday morning, heroes of faith, were normal people. I really want you to get that. Normal people who had faith in an amazing God. We don't want to put them up as being superheroes, that we could never be like them, because you can be like them if you just have faith in God. That's what they did. They had faith in God. It wasn't about them. It was about God, and they just trusted God, and God did great things. So it's a challenge to us. Abraham's story, we're going to look at the first part of his story in Genesis chapter 12 this morning. And so I would ask you to stand as we read God's word this morning. Genesis 12. It says, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you.' So Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife, Sarai, who his nephew, Lot, all the possessions they'd accumulated, all the people they'd acquired in Haran, and they set out from the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled throughout the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your offspring I will give this land.' So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. And the Lord set out and continued toward, and Abraham set out and continued toward the Negev." Lord, thank you for your word and this amazing call that you gave this man named Abraham. And I pray that you'll speak to our own hearts today, Lord, about this message of having faith to follow you. So speak to us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Call of God. It always begins with the call of God. God initiates, takes the initiative to reveal his will to Abram. I'll be calling him throughout the sermon Abram and Abraham. I just can't help it. He starts out as Abram. He changes to Abraham, and I will probably interchange the names because I just do. It wasn't Abraham's idea, this whole thing, to move, pack up his whole family and move west to an unknown place. It was God's idea, of course. God came to Abraham with this amazing idea. Now, we need to remember that Abraham is 75 years old when this happened. In those days, they lived a lot longer than we live, so it wasn't the end of his life by any means, but he's no teenager, 75 years old. I mean, it's a time in our day, you know, you'd be spending the winters in Arizona and the summers up fishing in the mountains in Idaho, right? He is getting a new call to a whole new life at the age of 75 years old. God had a plan for Abram. Now, we don't know, here's the thing that I don't know. There's no backstory here given to us. It just starts with this call. We don't know what kind of faith Abram had in God before this, or faith he didn't have. Commentators disagree on this. Some of them think that Abram was called out of a life of pagan idolatry, and he changed and followed God. Others think he was already following God there, and God called him. I don't know. I tend to think that he already knew God, because if you're going to have faith, I would think you'd need to know someone, know him to have faith in him, but I don't know the exact answer. But God spoke to him to reveal very clearly his will. We know that Abraham knew for sure it was God that was speaking to him. He knew what God was saying. He knew what he had to do. We know that for sure. But God started the whole thing. It was his initiative to reveal his will. Abraham's first step of faith was to leave the familiar. He was called to leave. Leave your country, your people, your father's household. Now, we get kind of attached to where we are, don't we? Maybe not. Maybe some of you are restless and like to move from place to place. But most of us get kind of attached to where we live. We get used to the area, our hometown, our state, you know, and we kind of like it there. And we're used to that. But God is calling Abram to leave everything that is familiar, everything that's comfortable, everything that is predictable, everything that where he kind of has control over things. He's calling him to go to a life that is totally different from that, away from everything that's familiar. A great step of faith. He's not calling him to a comfortable life. Did you guys think that God calls us to a comfortable life? Well, let's erase that idea. He calls us to a meaningful life, a full life, a wonderful life, but comfortable doesn't fit in there. He calls him to leave what is comfortable, a step of faith. Abram could not go with God and stay where he was. God said go, and he had to go. Leave everything familiar. Everything that he was tempted to trust in, he would have to leave. Another interesting fact about this, this whole journey started in the city of Ur, which is in what is now Iraq. And they've done a lot of research there and excavations there. They found what they believe to be the city of Ur. And they see great evidence of false worship, idol worship. Great evidence. Great evidence that it was a really wealthy area. And a lot of false worship and even human sacrifice was going on there. They found evidence of that. So God is calling Abraham to leave that society and go to the place that he would show him. Abraham's second step of faith was going into the unknown. First thing, leave what's familiar and then go into the unknown. Abraham is in chapter 11 of Hebrews, which is the faith chapter where we see these heroes of faith and talked about. Hebrews 11:8 says, by faith, Abraham, when was called to go to the place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Didn't know where he was going. Abram was told what to do, but not where to go. No address, no map, no colored brochures of golf courses and swimming pools of Canaan, no GPS. Just go, I'll show you. Now, pause for a moment. How many of you would feel comfortable doing this? I'm not going to tell you where you're going to go. Just follow me. That's what he's saying. Just follow me. You know, there's a little thing that sometimes the teens do called Destination Unknown. You ever been involved with one of those? Where they tell the teens, you know, show up at the church on Friday at a certain time, bring your sleeping bags and stuff. We're going to be gone 3 days, but we're not telling you where we're going. And the teens show up and they take off in the vans and they have no clue where they're going. Destination Unknown. It's kind of fun. God started that. He did it with Abraham. Destination Unknown. Pack your stuff. Get ready. I'll show you where we're going to go. He would leave and experience this life of supreme inconvenience. Can you imagine traveling? I mean, it's not like they had motels and fast food on that day. Traveling all the way across that country with everything they have. And he would never again have a home except for a tent. He would live in a tent all of his days. Abraham would. And yet, God called him to that unknown future. Now, we know the story. We know how it ended. You know, it all ended and God answered the prayer. And the people of Israel, you know, are there today, even today in the land of Israel. You know, the descendants of Abraham. But Abraham didn't know how it was going to end. He was just called by God to go into the unknown, trusting in just the word of God. Abraham could not let the unknown second step keep him from taking the first step. He had to take that first step of faith. He wouldn't have made all the steps if he hadn't taken that first step of faith and obedience to God. Abram's life was demonstrated by following God. Since no map was given and no directions, he had to rely on God for the directions, which is exactly what God wanted him to do. You know what would have happened If God had given Abram a map, the same thing would happen if God would give us maps. We'd start relying on the map. We'd trust the map. God didn't call Abraham to have a relationship with a map. He called him to have a relationship with the person of God. So I'll show you where you go. You're just going to follow me. Come on, let's go. We're going to go together. Abraham did that. Faith is happy to step out, not knowing where it's going, as long as it knows who's going along. God was going to go with him on this journey, this faith journey. It's interesting when you think about Jesus and how he called the disciples in the New Testament. What did he tell them? Follow me. He didn't give them a 3-year itinerary. He said, guys, we're going to be in Capernaum and Sea of Galilee. Then we're going to go over here in Jerusalem for a while, in Judea into Samaria. We're going to come back and forth. He just said, no, follow me, guys. Follow me. Seems to be God's way. We need to live a life of faith following him. Next thing we see is the promise of God. Immediately after God called Abram to go, he gave him this amazing promise. I mean, this is an amazing promise that he says here. He promised to bless Abram. These promises of blessing, there's a series of blessings, all backed up by the word of God when he says, I will. Abraham is called to trust in God's promise. First thing, he was promised to be a great nation. I will make you into a great nation. That is quite a promise. You would be a great nation. The reason that's so amazing, because he doesn't have any kids. Him and his wife can't have children. How are you going to be a great nation if you don't have any kids? No descendants. It's impossible. So when God is telling him, I'm going to make you into a great nation, he is saying, you're going to have kids, and you're going to have grandkids, and you're going to have great-grandkids, and they're going to prosper and grow, and it's going to be a great nation. An amazing promise. An amazing promise. So the question is Abraham going to believe this? Try to put yourself in his shoes for just a moment. It's an amazing promise. The scripture says in Romans 4:18 about Abraham, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Against all hope, in hope he believed. In other words, there's no reason, logical reason to believe this, except he believed in God and the word of God. Abraham did believe. He wouldn't even see this fulfillment in his lifetime. I mean, he's going to see his son born, right? And maybe some grandkids, but he isn't going to see the great nation. He took it all by faith. It's going to be a long time before Israel becomes a great nation, but they will. It was a promise that Abraham had by faith. Second thing he did is he promised that Abraham would be a great man. I will make your name great, God says. A person's name revealed their character. God is promising that when people think about Abram, they'll realize and they'll think about him as a person of faith. We know he's not a perfect person. We read through the rest of the book of Genesis and he made some real mistakes. But he's still a great man in the eyes of God because he had faith in God. Great man. In the chapter before this, the people in the Genesis were the Tower of Babel. They were trying to build a Tower of Babel, and they were trying to do it to make a great name for themselves. And it didn't work. Abraham's asked to follow God, and God will make his name great. When you try to make your name great for yourself, you're going to fail, but God can make your name great because you have faith. Abraham, God would eventually change Abram's name to Abraham, which means father of many. Father of many, the great nations. He also promised that Abraham would be a great blessing. Abraham's life would be a great blessing to many. His wife would be blessed with a son. I imagine, don't you think at first she probably wasn't blessed with this whole idea? Anybody want to guess? Well, we know about who would become Sarah in the Bible and some of her other reactions when Abraham first said, oh, honey, you know, we're packing up everything. We're going west. I don't know where, but start packing. We're going. She go, what in the world? You're out of your head. I'm sure she wasn't really in on it at the beginning, but she will, and she will have a son. She'll be blessed. His family will be blessed. All of the people that went with him will be blessed. The people of Israel will become Israel. The nations, the nation would be blessed. And you and I, it's interesting, are in part of this blessing. It says in Galatians chapter 3, Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you, so that those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. We're part of the blessing of Abraham. We're part of that blessing. We're included in it. It's awesome. He also promised to be a great partner with God. He was promised to be a great partner with God, Abraham was. God invited Abraham into a partnership. They would be so closely connected that God says, I will bless those that bless you and I'll curse those that curse you. In other words, he says to Abraham, anybody that messes with you, messes with me. Anybody blesses you, they bless me. We're in this together. We're partners. And you see it in Abraham's life. You see a story not long after they got into the land of Canaan, he brought his nephew Lot and his family with him, and Lot wanted to go his own way, and Lot went his own way, and he got captured by a coalition of four kings and their soldiers and taken up north to the northern part of Israel, area of Dan up there. And what did Abraham do? He got his servants together and said, let's go get them. Now, this story has always baffled me. Abram and a bunch of servants go up and take up on four kings and their armies, okay? And they beat them. And they bring Lot and his family back. The only way that happened is God is with him. You've messed with Abram's family, you've messed with God, and God is with him. And we see it throughout the life of Abraham. God continually bails him out and helps him. Because they're partners in this thing. Abraham believed God, says, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. I love that. The partnership became a friendship. He walked with God, he knew God, and he became a friend of God, friends with God. God also promised through Abraham to bless the world. To bless the world. Through Abram, God would conduct his global plan of redemption. It says, all the people of the earth will be blessed through by you. What a promise, through you. All of them will be blessed through you. Now, Abraham probably hadn't thought about much about other than his family and his little town and where he lived, but now God's saying, well, I'm going to bless the whole world through you. What an amazing promise. In this, we see the Old Testament equivalent of the Great Commission of Christ. You see, the Great Commission is really not new. Clear back in Genesis 12, God made it very clear that he wanted to reach the world. Not just the Jewish people, but the world. For God so... Whoops, I lost the scripture. Oh, well. There's supposed to be a scripture there. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world. Now, have you ever wondered why God took Abraham to that spot? And here's the map I'm going to show you here real quickly. You see, and I forgot the pointer, but you can see where Canaan is there in the middle there. Canaan was on the freeway of the old world. If you're going to go from Egypt to Asia, you got to go through Israel. If you're going to Egypt to Europe, you got to go through Israel. Europe down, they were on Canaan. They were on the freeway of the world. God took Abram and planted him right on the freeway. They say location is everything in business, right? Put him right on the freeway of the world where everybody's going to go back and forth to be the people of God, to share with the world the story that God had for them, a story of salvation and his love. Doesn't that make sense a little bit? That God would plant the people right there so the word could spread around the world? And it worked. Sadly, most of the people from descendants of the people of Abraham forgot all about this promise to bless the world. And they became ingrown. They began to think, we're so special because we're God's people, and everybody else is not so special because they're not God's people. And they forgot about reaching out to the world. There's John 3:16. Through Abram, God will bring the Savior of the world. God will bring the Savior of the world. It's interesting. He promised to bless the world, and that's how he's going to do it, through the Savior. If you look in the very first verse of Matthew, it says, a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Jesus Christ was a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Judah, a Jew, from the tribe, the people of Israel, fulfilling the promise of Abraham. God will bless the world through Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. This amazing call, I mean, I can't even imagine what Abram had to take in, all this stuff he's trying to take in, was given to him. This call to go, leave everything that's familiar, go to a land that I'm going to show you, and by the way, I'm going to bless you, unbelievable blessings, and now Abram is at a crisis point. He's at a crisis point. Picture him on the edge of a cliff. He has to decide to jump off or not and trust God's going to take him and take care of him. And we know that Abraham does it. He believes him. Romans 4 says he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. Fully persuaded. Abram believed God. That's why he's a man of faith. So let's look a little bit at his faith here this morning. He demonstrated his faith through obedience. It's not enough just to agree with God's plan unless you're willing to do it. He had to obey. There's a great story told, happened many years ago toward the end of the 19th century. There was a man by the name of Charles Blondin that was a famous tightrope walker. You've probably heard this story. And he would tightrope walk across Niagara Falls. And he would do all kinds of crazy, crazy things that he would do. He rode a bicycle across it on tightrope. He would walked on stilts across the tightrope. I mean, he just was a little nuts. On July 15th of the year 1859, he walked across pushing a wheelbarrow. He got to the other side and asked the people, wasn't that cool? And they all said, yeah, that's great. Do you think I could do it again? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, who wants to get in the wheelbarrow? And no one got in. They all believed he could do it, but no one wanted to get in the wheelbarrow. Abram, in this story, my friends, gets in the wheelbarrow. He trusts God so completely that even it seems so wildly impossible, he obeyed God. He got in that wheelbarrow, trusting in God. He obeyed God immediately. The key words are, it says, so Abram left as the Lord told him. He left. Now, it's interesting when you study the scripture. If you look at Stephen's testimony in the book of Acts, Stephen kind of gave a history of Israel before he was martyred. He says that Abraham's call started what came to him when he was in Ur. We know that he goes from Ur, which is in Iraq, west to Haran, which is in what is now Syria. And then they stay there a little while, and then they go south down to Canaan. I don't know why there is a delay in Haran. I don't know. But we know he started in Ur, went to Haran, and then they waited a little while, and they went south to Canaan. But we do know that he left Ur. He left, obeyed God. He didn't wait, didn't have a big, you know, let's pray about it for a couple years. You know, let's think about it. Let's have a committee meeting. He got ready, got his family and possessions ready, and they took off obeying God. He obeyed God completely. This was not a scouting trip to see if it was going to work. He just didn't send a scouting party out. The whole group came. This is a no-return thing. It's a one-way ticket to Canaan. There's no return back. Everything he had, every person that was part of his group, they all went to stay, not just to check it out, completely. Hebrews 11 says, by faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. He obeyed God completely. He ended up in that land of Canaan. And he obeyed God daily. Because there's no map, you have to do that, right? You have to obey God daily. Don't know what to do. You know, in the time of the people of Israel, in Exodus, you know how God saved them out of Egypt. They lived in the desert for 40 years, and God led them by a pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. They had to get up every morning and see if they were staying or leaving, because if the cloud left, they left. They had to follow God. That's what Abraham had to do. He had to follow God. And God would tell him where to go. You know, on most of your phones, you have this little map app, you know, where you can plug in somebody's address and try to find out where to go. And, you know, as long as you're going the right direction, it won't talk to you. But if you get close to a turn, it'll say in a quarter mile, take a right. You know, it'll talk to you when you get close to the decision. But as long as you're going the direction you go, it's silent, right? Well, Abraham had experienced that with God. God told him where to go. And when it was time to turn or change or stop, he told him. He had God with him to direct him, and he obeyed him daily, day by day. Abraham also demonstrated his faith through his witness. As people saw him packing up and getting ready to go, don't you think there were questions? Where are you going, Abraham? I don't know. How are you going to get there? I don't know. Who's going to take care of you? I don't know. What are you going to do when you get there? I don't know. I'm just trusting God. God called me. I'm going to go. All along the way, people would ask him, where are you going? I don't know. And when he got there, you know, people would say, what led you here? And he would tell them the story. All the way along, he's a witness to his family, his servants, his people, and everybody he met. Abraham's a witness, and he's a witness to us today of his faith to obey God and do what God told him to do. Abraham also demonstrated his faith through worship. When he got to Canaan, he went to the area close to Shechem, which is the geographical center of the land of Israel. That's where the Canaanites were. Now, that tells us something. The Canaanites were the local people there. It tells us that there's going to be opposition to taking over that land. Canaanites don't want them to take it over the land. That's going to happen a long time away, hundreds of years from now in the story. He went to a place called the Tree of Moreh. Moreh means teacher or oracle giver. The Great Tree of Moreh was a place where the Canaanites assembled for false worship. They would go there and they'd have these false teachers who would, this is going to sound weird, but they would listen to the leaves, rattle in the wind, and then they'd give a message that the leaves told them to the people. Now, that's really weird, but that's what they would do. In the middle of this false worship, the same area where they worship many false gods, Abraham heard from God. God spoke to him. He's there. Spoke to him again and said these words, to your offspring, I will give this land. What a promise. Because he still didn't have a son. He had no offspring yet. 25 years till that happens. To your offspring, I'm going to give you this land. So in the middle of this pagan land, at this place of false worship, God made this promise to Abraham, and Abraham believed him, and he built an altar to the Lord. Now, when you study why you built an altar for sacrifice, and sacrifice is for sin. To worship God, we have to deal with sin. And Abraham worshiped God, the one true God, in the middle of this place of false worship. Abraham, when it says he goes south to a place between Bethel and Ai, another place of false worship, home to the place where the Canaanites will worship their god El. But again, Abraham built an altar to the one true God and worshiped him, demonstrating his faith. The last way Abraham demonstrated his faith through prayer, it says he called on the name of the Lord. He called on the name of the Lord. That's an act of faith. Do you understand that prayer is an act of faith? Every time we pray, it's an act of faith. When we pray, you're believing that there is a God, that he does hear you when you pray, and that he can answer and will answer your prayer. That's what Abram did. It was an act of faith when he prayed to God and called the name of the Lord. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That's what Abraham did. He sought the Lord through prayer, believing that God would answer. Abraham is a great example to us. But God is calling each one of us to be people of faith. People of faith. Our story is going to be different than Abraham, of course. But we need to be people of faith. It begins with having faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the first step of faith. You have to do that first. And then you just got to follow God wherever he leads you, whatever he asks you to do. There could be some of you today who are struggling with that step of faith, whatever it might be in your life. I talked to a guy this week who was struggling with a big step, and he knows what God's asked him to do, but he's just struggling to take that step. Maybe you're like that. You know what God wants you to do. You have to take that step. Oftentimes, we hesitate to take the step of faith because we don't know the whole story. God isn't going to give you the whole story, but he's going to be with you. You'll learn the whole story as you go. You have to take that first step of faith. Obey him. Follow him. I wonder what God is calling you to do. Will you take that step of faith? We're going to close our service with a time of prayer. And as I said earlier, prayer is an act of faith. Every time we pray, we're trusting in God, giving it to him, trusting him, obeying him. So if you need to come pray about anything that God is talking to you about, or you just need to come pray about anything that you need to pray about, this is a great time to pray. We want to call on the name of the Lord, just like Abraham did. Let's stand together and worship our Lord. And like I said, if you need to pray, please come.